Not really. No. I mean, I was involved with the project right from 1982 when I met Taylor. And he brought the idea of a film project with Mikhail Baryshnikov and myself. I mean, so we developed the whole concept over the course of those years. And I felt it was really appealing to me, A, to play a well-rounded character, because as a black actor, that's one of the most important things to me, and it's difficult to find a role where I can play just a complete man. It's also very appealing to me to play a man who is vulnerable, and the thought of playing a character who had made a big mistake and had a lot of regrets, and in some ways was lost. He had lost control of his life.
But somehow he doesn't really see it maybe as a mistake. Bad judgment, maybe. But
I think in his heart of hearts, it's he made a mistake, you know. And I think he's in so much trouble that the only thing that he has is his wife, you know, and his love for her. And then when this guy shows up, you know, he's really headed for a crisis point. You know, I think, as a black man in America, I think to play a black man who maybe is not likable for part of the time, somebody who is not cool all the time and not in control all the time, I think is a good thing. I think in some ways it's difficult to watch because it might be painful for white people to see somebody like that because it might make them in some ways feel embarrassed about it. I think it might be a little bit difficult for black people to see it for the same reasons. But yet these people exist. And we need to see this kind of expression from blacks because we see white actors do it all the time. They play every type character.
You have a very telling line, too, about Uncle Sam coming down into the ghetto and saying, I want all of you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, that scene was, that was the toughest. Oh, I mean, Taylor and a woman named Nancy Dowd, who came in at the end and helped us with the script, and myself, we just, for about 2 months before we shot the scene, we just went over it and over it.
Well, you're dancing, it's a monologue, and you're also drunk.
Right.
There's three things you've got to keep track of.
Right. And at one time or another, I was all three of those things when we shot the scene. Yeah. Well, some of it had to do with just everyone's schedule. Taylor, at the time we first got involved, Taylor was involved in releasing Officer and a Gentleman. He had just made Idlemaker. And it wasn't a go project. It was just a notion. And once Mike and I were involved, Baryshnikov and I were involved, then it became more real. And then as a story, we had to develop a story and then get a script. And then everybody had to coordinate their schedules. Because after Officer and Gentleman, Taylor had a commitment to do Against All Odds. And Mike had his ballet company, and he's also the artistic director. And I had the Cotton Club to do. I was going to do a movie called Deal of the Century, then the Cotton Club, and so it did take a while to really get the thing ready to roll, and then we shot it the summer of '84.
What was the initial discussion of the dancing aspect?
Well, really nothing is as I thought it would be, you know, in the beginning, but you know. The dance, I mean, going in, we had the lofty goals, as usual, to do a dance film where when the dance began, the movie didn't stop, the dramatic action didn't stop, that it would somehow further the dramatic flow of the movie. That was the effort, you know, and I feel good about it. I hadn't seen the movie for about 3 months until last night, and I felt good about what I saw and what I felt. The balance of the dance, you know, it's hard for me to judge. I mean, it's so hard for me to judge the movie. And
is there more dance now or less than you thought?
There's more. There's more, yeah. There's more of everything, actually. You know, I mean, I had hoped that I would have the opportunity to really flesh out the character as I did. But I wasn't sure it was going to, you know, I wasn't sure because there was a lot of touchy things, you know. I was surprised the movie was going to happen, you know, given the subject matter and, you know, the fact that there's an interracial marriage there. Although it's not, you know, it's not a big part of the story and it's not really dealt upon except one incident when we're trying to get her back. I thought it was a real courageous attempt, you know, by Taylor and by Columbia. You know, I just felt so happy that somebody was willing to make a story like this.
Well, how can we separate the three pieces?
You know, the whole thing was, it was such a collaborative thing. You know, Twyla was just around everything. And, you know, while you don't see a lot of Twyla up there, you know, Twyla's very intelligent, very smart in terms of theme, the thematic sense of dance. And, you know, while she knows a good step when she sees one, she, you know, was controlling us and trying to keep a lid on and try to keep the feel of the dramatic part that preceded the dance and lead up to what was to come. So she would work with us, and we improvised a lot, and we fooled around a lot. The first 3 weeks of rehearsal at the ABT studios in New York, we just jumped around and bumped into one another and laughed and somehow worked on the skeletal form of that dance that we do together. That precision.
What do you mean by the term that she was trying to keep the lid on?
Well, you know, sometimes you get to working on a dance and you come up with a step and you want to put it in. And then maybe you come up with another step and then you put it in. Sometimes we'd come up with a step and Twyla would say, it's good, it's a really good step, but let's hold it. And we don't do it now because it's not right to do it now. And sometimes we'd hold it and put it in a little later on, or we wouldn't put it in at all because it wasn't right for that dance. We put it in another moment.
One of the end credits says tap improvography.
Oh, yeah.
It's a word I had a very difficult time with.
All right.
Does that refer especially to the sequence where you have the rock music that you haven't heard for a while and you're out there on your own?
Uh-huh. Well, actually, in a way it does. It refers to my the particular style of dancing that I do on a film. When I was making the Cotton Club, working with a lot of the older black dancers, and they always had a name for it. Like this one guy, Ralph Brown, he had this thing he called heelology. And he said, you know, he was the first one to like really stomp and use his heels, he said. He said, you know, I invented it, I patented it, I discovered it. Heelology is my thing. So, you know, I was trying to think of what to call my dancing in the movie, which, you know, you do 7-8 takes of a dance, first 3 improvisation, and then I would discover a step that I would want to try to make sure would get in the movie, so I'd put it in every take after that. So that's choreography. So one day I went to Francis. I said, Francis, I said, I want the credit for my time. I want it to be called Tap Improvography. Because it's improvisation and choreography. So he said, okay.
And I know the technicalities of filmmaking are such that sometimes you might be dancing to music other than what we hear in the theater.
Right.
Was that ever true in this?
Yeah. In the case of that dance.
Yeah, that one especially.
Yeah, that was certainly true. In fact, I wrote a piece of music to dance to and recorded it in London with some musicians as a temp track. And I was trying to, you know, I was fighting with Taylor to try to get it in the movie, but for 3 weeks I went to Las Vegas to work in a club act, and I lightened up on him, and he got somebody else to write a thing. You got to really stay on Taylor. Yes. You know, I'd like to exercise as many of the abilities that I feel that I have. I can't say I'm working towards anything. You know, I think as an artist and as a person, what I really feel like I'm working towards is to try to lead as well-rounded an existence as I can, because I think that helps the art and helps me as a person. You know, I have a family, my wife, and we have 3 children, and just my own self. I feel like the experience of being an artist is intense, and it requires a lot of focus. But then I like the thought of being with my family and being with my friends and being myself and just having time to be a person, a whole person. So that would be the only thing I think I'm working towards. The opportunity to dance again in a movie, I mean, if I got one now, I would want to do it. I'd want to try to get it in. To sing, to record, to play softball, you know.
Would you tell us about the Porgy and Bess number about leaving for New York? That's pretty delicious stuff.
Yeah, that was so much fun, you know, because we shot that in Finland in a town called Reposaari, which is right outside of Pori. And I mean,
those were
the people of Reposaari. I mean, we were in their town for about 2 weeks, and they just loved us. The kids followed us around. The people were so happy. And they had never seen tap dancing. Most of them. So the first day we were there, I came out and I tapped for them for about a half hour just so they could see it. And there was no response whatsoever. I mean, they just sat and looked at it. And I don't know, I think Taylor said, you know, through the interpreter, you know, this is Gregory Hines and he's a tap dancer from America and he's going to come out and show you what tap dancing is. And I came out and I danced for them and I danced down and I did some of the things I was going to do. And, you know, it made me uneasy. You know, that there was no response. And, but they loved it. They loved, you know, that I spoke some Russian, that we did Porgy and Bess. And at that time, I was able to speak a little bit of conversational Russian. So, you know, I would carry on short conversations with them. And every day, by the time we were there, by the time we wrapped there, I mean, they were all like, you know, seasoned veterans, you know, and all trying to, you know, they'd get in front of the mirror and make sure they matched the way they looked for the day before. And, yeah, they got so into it, you know, and their expressions.
Somebody from Finland will invent heelography.
Right.
Did they know the work Porgy and Bess? Did they know what that was?
I don't think so.
Although
there was a
huge...
Yeah, you know, it didn't... those people, you know, really... That was really a town with dirt streets, and, you know, there was just nothing happening. The newspaper, I know Brezhnikov told me that the news on the, you know, they have newspapers up on the big board outside because they can't get a whole lot of news. And it's, you know, 2 to 3 weeks old. And, you know, they just skip days. They give you one newspaper for the week of, and maybe you get another one, but... you know, they were really out of touch with a lot of leisure time activities, like seeing Porgy and Bess.
When did you first meet Misha? How far did that friendship?
Yeah, well, you know, when I started studying Russian, the first class I had, it was a conversation between these two guys. And one guy, his name was Michael, and one guy's name was Vladimir. And... he said, the first one was a greeting. The guy said, "Oh, Misha, etati," which means, "Misha, how you doing? You know, relax." And I said, "Misha." I said, and then down at the bottom on the asterisk, it said, "Misha, Mike." You know, it means Mike. So I started calling him that. You know, a lot of times nobody knew what I was talking about on the movie. Isabella kept, you know, hitting me in the head and saying, "You know, why are you calling him Mike? And it's Misha, 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 Misha."
The collision
course. So when did you first meet him?
I met him in April of 82.
Which was about the same time, in connection with the beginning of this project?
Yeah,
Taylor. You didn't know him before this?
No. I'd seen him work, you know, but I had never met him. And my manager, I was out in Los Angeles doing a play, and my manager said, "I want you to meet this director, because... he just made a movie called Idolmaker, and he has a movie coming out called Officer and a Gentleman, and I think he's very talented and really on, you know, a comer. And he wants to meet you. He has an idea." So we met, and I liked him. And he said that he had this idea of doing a dance movie with me and Mikhail Baryshnikov. And, you know, I was really flattered, because at the time, you know, I was just starting to get rolling. I had done a play in New York. I had had a movie, Wolfen, had been released, and History of the World. But, you know, I was just you know, I was just getting rolling, and you know, Mikhail Baryshnikov, you know, the thought that he wanted to work with me, it just made me feel good. And I think in some ways,
you
know,
he asked you a lot of questions about TAP and asked you to help him with.
No, first time we got together, we talked about, you know, women, you know, movies, vodka. I didn't know as much about it then as I do now. Vodka. Yeah, no idea. He just, at that point, he was looking to see if we were interested in working with him and with each other. And once he got the commitment, then he got some money. Orion Pictures was involved at the time. In fact, Mike Medavoy was the one, I think, who suggested the thing, because he's very, he and Mike are really close friends. And I knew Mike Medavoy from Wolfen. So it was just a notion that it might be a good idea. And then James Goldman was brought in, and then it started to happen.
Was there ever any thought of developing sort of a love interest for Bush? I mean, he's considered just sort of a sex
symbol. There were a lot of different I think at one point it was possible that there was going to be a thing with Daria and him. And then at another point, I wasn't going to have a wife, and there was going to be somebody there, an old love of his, but not the Ivanova character. And there were like a lot of different things. And of course, I was always pushing for a wife, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly cuts against the usual. Usually you have the black man, the sidekick, who doesn't
know
anybody.
Right. Well, that was the thing, you know. That was one of the things about the movie that I was so happy, you know. And I was really impressed that Columbia was game, you know. And that was another reason why I was so happy to play that character, because mostly you have a black character who's one-dimensional, like you said. But to have a man who could display that type of emotion, everything from sensuality and sexuality to anger and sadness and just, you know, patheticness. I was so happy, you know, because that's what I want to do as an actor. I want to, like, go as far as I can go in that way. You know, I felt like I had that for the most part in the Cotton Club. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was able to get on camera, I felt like I had some range.
When we talked about the Cotton Club, there was talk that there was all this footage of the floor. Is there any more of Francis going to cut that in?
No, I heard, last I heard from Joe Cusimano and a couple of the people that are involved technically, was that they were going to re-edit it for a mini-series and make it like a six-hour mini-series. Because they have, like, you know, 25 hours of footage.
Do you know if there's a network interested in it?
No, the last I heard was that they wanted to do that, and that they were going to, I think they were going to, on their own, put a presentation together for the network and show them things that hadn't been seen before.